Welcome to The Advertising Show, America's only radio program focusing on advertising, media, marketing, product development, branding, new media, sales and customer relations. Stay with us for entertaining marketing discussion and our special guest interview. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Schillens and Brad Forsythe.
Guess what you found? It's The Advertising Show with Ray Schillens and Brad Forsythe. Being brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit online at adage.com. And by Captivate Network. You can visit them at captivate.com. The Advertising Show is a Big Radio Midgets production. Yes, it is. Shameen Abbas with us today. Activist for Excellence is what she is talking about. And basically, she's talking about electronic relationships and how the value of those things is based on a little bit more personal level. So we'll find out what she's talking about there just a few moments away. Gene Bliss, our customer experience, thinks that Virgin America is doing a pretty good job so far of getting it right. And I think I would have to agree with her on that. So that's Gene a little bit later on this hour on The Advertising Show. Ray Schillens, Brad Forsythe. Oh, and our guests. Well, our guest is a very special gentleman out of L.A., and it's the Hyper Factory, the world's most awarded full-service mobile ideas media and execution company. Derek and Jeffrey Handley founded that back in 2000. The Hyper Factory, 8 offices around the globe, international headquarters in Auckland, New Zealand, and we'll tell you more about that as we get closer to the interview with Derek. So we've got a lot of stuff coming your way. What do you have there? What is that?
Well, you know, if I were to say Charles, Brian, and Katie, of course, we all know them as their as our anchors for the network news here in the U.S. And sure. Interesting, Ray, I decided before I get to this story, I decided I was going to record a little network news over the past few weeks, mostly just to figure out what pharmaceuticals I need to be taking now that I'm over the age of 50. But which really you can capture that within about 3 or 4 days of watching those programs. But NBC Nightly News with Brian Williams regained the top spot among top viewers over the past year. No surprise to our media buyers out there that listen to our show regularly, but perhaps more significantly, Ray, this past week, and it's also at the top of the list as far as NBC is concerned, the show received 10 nominations from the Television Academy of Arts and Sciences in the news and documentary category, making it NBC the year's most nominated program. PBS led the networks in nominations with an impressive 38. ABC, CBS both tied for second with 17 nominations, and ABC earning 8 apiece for 2020. ABC News with Charlie Gibson, and CBS grabbing 9 for 60 Minutes and 5 for Sunday Morning with Charles Osgood. One of my favorites, by the way. I don't know. I've got Sunday Morning TiVo'd, frankly. I don't sit around Sunday morning and watch that, but I find that a very, very nice program. I don't know if you're kidding.
It's one of those ones that you wish there were more of, right?
Yeah, it really is. It really delves into some, gives some time on each topic and topics that aren't normally covered. And then National Geographic, by the way, including our cable networks, is nominated for 12 Emmys, I should say, followed by HBO and Cinemax, both with 10, and not to be left out, the History Channel with 6. So congratulations to both broadcast and cable companies for the Emmy nominations this year.
Good for them. That's great. Yeah. You know, Katie Couric, yeah, they're going to broadcast her in high def, apparently, soon. They've been working a year and a half on this studio, and they finally got it done. Mm-hmm. You know how contractors are.
So. Well, it's interesting. My wife saw me replaying the evening news. I was serious that I did record some of that just to see what was going on and how they were executing. And I must say, I really like Brian's execution, just as a personal, you know, take. I did sure. check out Katie, and I'm not being or not hoping to be despairing in my comments, but, you know, Katie's put on some, either her clothes are bunching up on her or she's put on a little weight from sitting down. She needs to get out on the road, I think, or something. I don't know.
You don't say that to Katie Couric.
I think, well, I mean, you watch that program. Her clothes are bunching up on her.
They need to get her maybe standing. Maybe she changed cleaners, Brad. You know, what the heck? I don't know.
Need to get her standing. I don't think she needs to be sitting.
I see. Or maybe on an exercise cycle while she's doing the news. Yeah, exactly.
Something.
Right. Okay, fine. Something. Derek Handley, CEO of the Hyper Factory, thehyperfactory.com. What in the heck is the Hyper Factory? We're going to find out today on The Advertising Show. Right now, it is Shamina Abbas, our activist for excellence here with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. Let's listen.
And now, it's time for Activist for Excellence. PR, publicity, and crisis management instruction for today's marketing professional. Now, here's your host, the uncompromising Shamina Abbas.
Email has permeated every aspect of communication and corporate culture, and in many ways we're better off for it. The amount of time we save communicating via email is tremendous, but it also lacks something that is essential, and that's personal relationships. You can develop a professional relationship through email with a media contact, but there is no substitute for meeting in person and establishing a rapport. We have to remind ourselves that writers and editors get hundreds of solicitations every day, and sometimes a catchy subject line isn't enough to get your email open during a hectic day. Yet if a publicist has taken a writer out to lunch or had a 10-minute conversation at a networking event, or even brought a cup of coffee to a sleep-deprived reporter who has finally met a deadline, something happens. The next email gets read. Lunch and caffeine are not enough to secure a story alone by any means, but by humanizing both yourself and your counterpart in the media, you found some moment of commonality that humans tend to gravitate towards. You're no longer a faceless flack bombarding a writer with releases. You're a person doing a job just like they are. All the better it turns out that you found something more in common. Personal contact has another effect. It removes the need, even if it's just for a moment, to get the story out. Save the pitching for later and connect instead. Your next email has a much better chance of getting through the clutter, and the conversation may naturally turn towards something you're working on.
You've been listening to Activist for Excellence. PR, publicity, and crisis management instruction for today's marketing professional with host Shamina Abbas. Shamina is president and founder of Shamina Abbas Public Relations, a full-service agency providing local, regional, national, and international media relations, special event production, and inventive promotion with offices in New York City and West Palm Beach. To learn more, visit ShaminaAbbasPR.com. That's ShaminaAbbasPR.com.
This is The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth and our special guest. Well, let me give you a brief history of what this company was. Go back to 2000 when young Derek and Jeffrey Handley were sitting on a pier in Singapore with their lines in the water, fishing for probably piranha or perch. We're not sure. They thought they'd come up with a great company. They called it the Hyper Factory. Hyper Factory creates, executes, and analyzes long-term mobile strategies for brands and agencies and boasts the world's most compelling and unified mobile media network with access to more than a billion multi-touchpoint impressions per month. Their clients include Toyota, Motorola, Vodafone, and Coca-Cola. So past successes in book and at D&AD, the one show, two wins at the Webbies, the Grand Prix Media Lion and Bronze Media Lion at the Cannes Lion, a Bronze Clio Award, Best in Show, and they did catch a fish, by the way, too, which is nice. So I like what their website says. It's not that we're boasting or anything like that, but you know what? On your homepage, when it says about us, you're allowed to do that, Derek, and you'll get a chance to do that a little bit more as we get into what you guys are all about here with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. It is The Advertising Show. We are powered by Shipple.com and a platform called Tendency. S-C-H-I-P-U-L.com is an incredible marketing website platform. Check it out at Shipple.com. With Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth, hope you stick around. We've got some good conversation coming your way.
Here comes another typical commercial. I could get your attention by blowing a foghorn, or maybe an awesome scream. But even that doesn't cut through the clutter enough to really captivate your attention. If you're an advertiser and you really want your message to be heard, then reach for the golden nugget of advertising. It's what's called a captive audience. One company delivers this much sought-after captive audience. And believe it or not, it's just the people you want to reach, business professionals and decision makers. It all happens in 23 of North America's largest and most progressive markets. And the captive audience is right there in the elevators of select premier office towers. Over 8,000 high-quality video screens get people's attention with what research proves they want, news and information. It's all combined with your branded message in a way that only this captive audience sees and absorbs. Cut the waste in your advertising budget by reaching just who you want to reach. Don't just advertise. Captivate your audience. To find out more, click on Captivate.com.
Make your advertising dollars work smarter. You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Schillings and Brad Forsyth.
Cut. Reload.
That's a complicated-looking machine, isn't it? Funny thing is, a lot of people...
Welcome back. It's The Advertising Show. Ray Schillings, Brad Forsyth, and our very special guest is the CEO of the Hyper Factory. His name is Derek Handley. Out of all different kinds of places here, but in this particular case this weekend, he's in L.A. Derek, welcome to the show. Pleasure to have you here.
Hi there. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, Derek, as Ray mentioned, you founded the Hyper Factory and your brother in 2000 at a pretty young age, I might add. What was it that you saw happening in the marketplace back then that made you you guys get attracted to the mobile advertising business?
Well, I guess at that age of a little bit of naivety, it wasn't so much was happening in the marketplace of mobile advertising. It was more about what we saw mobile devices could become in the world of, you know, communications and advertising. Because, as you probably know, 2000, that was really mostly about the internet, and no one was really thinking about mobile. But I guess looking ahead, the concept was being sold, you know, that these devices could become the remote control to your life, and extrapolating that further, how a brand or a company can use that to communicate and really connect with their target audience is what we kind of pounced on. And that's how we formed, you know, the genesis of what a business could be.
So looking back on it, any visions that you had for mobile that were still waiting on here in 2008? And had you and your brother, what vision you had for mobile has pretty much come true as you'd seen it back then?
Well, primarily at the beginning, we were focusing mainly on what was an installed base of activity, which was emerging as SMS. So in the late 90s, text messaging became something that, you know, it came out of the engineer's room where they actually used it to find signals from cell towers. It wasn't even a commercial product. But once consumers started to realize it existed, it exploded, and not so much in the U.S., but in other markets. And so the first few years was all about what could you do with text messaging and coming up with, you know, the wildest schemes of all the different types of things you could do. And then, you know, in the couple of years later, particularly when we got up to, you know, opening our Asia office, we then broadened our vision much wider about the mobile internet, which, you know, in early 2000 and 2001 was virtually non-existent. So SMS marketing and those kind of activities are definitely fulfilling their vision, you know, in most markets. And the mobile web is really soaring ahead in terms of what you can do and what can be done with all the content, video, you know, GPS and access and things like that. So it's halfway there. We've got still a lot more that can be done and a lot more for the medium to flourish. You know, there's a lot of things that are still coming down the pipe that are going to make it even more powerful.
And I assume you have a new iPhone 3G?
Well, funny question. I meant to.
You meant to? Is that what you said?
Yeah, I went to the store in Santa Monica several times, but I wasn't going to line up for, you know, 4 hours.
Yeah, you forgot your sleeping bag. Is that right?
Yeah,
there?
Exactly.
Yeah, okay, good.
But we have a couple in the office, and we, you know, we're playing around with them. I'll go get mine when the lines die down.
I'm and sure the price, yeah, the price will come down too. What are they at? $199 now, which is not bad compared to the first one.
No, it's a good price, but it's also good, yeah, if you've already got an iPhone. They give you a lower price, so
right.
I'll definitely be in there to have a look at it for sure.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned overseas markets, and I'm curious. You know, a lot of overseas markets, as you mentioned, have an uptake on mobile much greater than here in the U.S. I'm curious, is this all about infrastructures, or is it cultural? Why have we all seen greater receptivity to mobile and usage and so forth outside of the U.S. than what's happening here?
Well, there's a few factors at play. So going back to the beginning of mobile marketing, which is the SMS activity in the early part of the century, you know, that was definitely an infrastructure thing because you had all the networks in the States. You couldn't text message between networks. So if you can't text message between networks, the text messaging adoption is extremely low. It's like you know, it's the peer-to-peer factor. So it took years for the U.S. networks to interconnect the ability for people on AT&T to text message Verizon and so forth. And without that, and without the user base on messaging, then the beginnings of mobile marketing in the U.S. really didn't, they didn't happen, you know, as much as the rest of the world. So U.K., Australasia, SMS marketing was flourishing, and it is flourishing at the moment. So if you go to the U.K. or Europe, you know, text messaging is a core part of advertising now. It's on every TV commercial. It's on every billboard as a call to action, you know, in response to an ad. And then you've got other things like cultural issues. So, you know, things like people in Japan, they're commuting constantly, and their mobile phone is their computer. The PC penetration is far lower than the U.S. Similarly, China and India, you know, the PC is not, it's an afterthought. That geographic region is all about mobile as being their primary device. But as we move into the mobile internet, the U.S. is really starting to take a hold because they understand the internet. And so browsing on the internet through your mobile device is, you know, exponentially growing in this market and becoming, in terms of an advertising business model, one of the leaders. So it's kind of flipping its head at the moment. You know, flipping on
the phone. Well, I'm curious, mobile internet, any uptick in outside of the U.S., other cultures that are picking up on that as well, or is it
Japanese basically were the pioneers of that. That's been, you know, what they've been doing for a very long time. So in early 99, 2000, there was already very significant infrastructure and uptake. China has, it's the biggest mobile internet market in the world, I think, at the moment. You know, they have over 500 million handsets. And I think that there's, you know, nearing 100 million mobile internet users. India is probably second. And the U.S. has about 50 million active mobile web users, or mobile web, you know, subscribers. So the numbers are starting to mean something for advertisers, and the mass ability to reach people on this medium is getting to that, you know, getting to that point.
It's the Advertising Show here with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. Our special guest out of L.A. this weekend, Derek Handley, CEO of The Hyper Factory. It's thehyperfactory.com. We're going to find out more about The Hyper Factory and get more thoughts from Derek on that as well. But we've got to take a break here with Ray Shillings, Brad Forsyth. Glad you're here and hope you stick around.
Why do more media professionals read iwantmedia.com? iwantmedia.com features reports from industry leaders and media personalities. iwantmedia.com gives you quick access to news, stats, trade orgs, and industry publications, and it's updated daily. Forbes says iwantmedia.com contains everything media professionals need to stay ahead of the game. The Washington Post calls it the source for the serious media geek. Do you get it? If you don't, you should. To sign up for free daily email alerts, visit iwantmedia.com.
Make informed decisions about your company's advertising strategy. This is The Advertising Show.
This is the year of the lark. The lark is the car of the year. Look what's new for you from the lark.
Welcome back to The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. You would expect the CEO of The Hyper Factory to be hyper, something like that. I don't know. Maybe Derek was as a kid. Derek Handley is our special guest here on The Advertising Show. Derek, it is certainly a pleasure to have you here. Thanks for dropping by.
No problem.
Yeah, Derek, I want to talk a little bit about branding and mobile advertising. But before we do that, what do you think are some of the more popular misconceptions when it comes to mobile marketing?
I think something that's more increasingly getting reduced is the concept that there's no reach in mobile and it might be too niche. You know, are people really doing this type of stuff? And I think, you know, you talked about the scale of people on the mobile web and the number of text messages now that people are sending. And so even though people know that, you know, yeah, my kids are doing this all day long and I see people walking around the street, you know, reading their BlackBerry all day long, there's a misconception that, you know, Is it big enough for brands to be engaging with? So that's one of them, and I think that's more and more so being diminished. Another one that's an interesting one is the demographic. So isn't it just the kids that are doing this stuff? Is it adults actually practicing this as well. And again, more and more statistics are coming out saying, well, that, you know, the largest sector of mobile web browsers is, you know, something like 24 to 35 year olds. Sure enough, the largest people that are text messaging are kids, but, you know, there's a lot of people doing a lot of activity as they get older. Those are a couple. And, you know, is it expensive or is it too hard to start in mobile advertising? Is it, you know, too difficult? And although there are a lot of challenges and you've got to be really careful, you know, you can start very small, and it can be made very easy if you have the right partner. So I think people get scared on a variety of those factors.
Now, when you say the right partner, let's imagine someone listening today, a marketer, is you're piquing their interest, and they decide that they want to embark on a mobile marketing effort in addition to their traditional marketing efforts. Where do they start? You say a partner. Is that a partner via the mobile channel or a partnership versus a mobile advertising agency? Do you need a mobile agency? Can your traditional agency help you with this kind of thing? What's your advice?
Yeah, I think the key is to find, I guess, for lack of a better word, the mobile agency, a lead company that really understands the space in a holistic fashion and understands how you take a brand to market through the mobile channel, as opposed to a technology company who may be trying to sell a particular type of mobile application, or a mobile media company who's trying to sell mobile media inventory for you to buy. You know, like you wouldn't go to a magazine publisher to create your overall print strategy and your print campaign. You know, you use a specialist agency to do that.
Right.
And in the emerging world of mobile, that is more and more important. And, you know, the Hyperfactory is one of those companies that take those companies looking for a solution by the hand in a strategic fashion across the board, across their business, and regardless of, you know, technologies. The incumbent, you know, agencies, again, there's more fragmentation there than there is consolidation. So you could be looking at a direct agency or a creative agency or a digital agency or a media agency. And a lot of them are trying to dabble in the space predominantly by partnering with someone like us. But you know, as a single agency that's been working on traditional business, it's pretty hard for them to position themselves as experts in the space because it's so deep. And there are so many intricacies as to how you can effectively deploy mobile. So, you know, I think depending on how far you go, you can ask your agency, well, what could I do with this medium? You know, how do you suggest we look at it? And can you find us the right partners to bring to the table and make sure that those partners are brought to the table, you know, not hidden behind the agency? Or
right.
Depending on how big your appetite is finding the right type of agency or company to help you along. And that's what we found, particularly this year, more and more companies are doing because they realize it's just a little bit tricky. So you need to have the right people on board, and sometimes the guys you have on board at the moment are just not quite there yet, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a good point, and I think if you have an agency, and as you say, if a specialist like your own firm is hiding behind an agency, and you as a marketer sense that there's someone out there involved or an organization involved behind your agency, I think you've got a fairly insecure bunch of guys at the agency level handling your account, and you should feel, and you should be questioning what's going on there, because, you know, you guys need to be sitting at the table with the agency of record and integrating your marketing along
sure,
with their traditional marketing.
That's logical.
Yeah. What do we have left here, Ray? A minute or so?
Yeah, a little bit less than a minute. Go for it.
Real quickly, give us a little insight, Derek, about how to avoid mistakes when it comes to branding and mobile. And anything you don't cover, we'll cover next segment.
Yeah, I think it's related to that point you just made before, right? So there are lots of pitfalls. It's a new medium, right? There's going to be, and it's changing every day. So having that someone experienced on board who's executed, you know, hundreds of campaigns for all the top brands in the world at least gives you that level of comfort that you're not, you know, you're learning based on all the learnings that have taken place through that company's, you know, experience. I think also related to the number of people that are playing in this space at the moment, there's a lot of startups that have come up with technology and a lot of startups on media, you know, taking their advice from them in the right context, because they have different objectives to a brand, right? A media company needs to sell media, a technology company needs to sell platforms. So making sure that you're not being guided by directions from the wrong type of advisors. And then just being very careful as to what you choose to start with, maybe not biting off more than you can chew, and setting some realistic goals. So maybe starting with some SMS messaging and some mobile web activity that is manageable, then reviewing it, and then going further and consistently reviewing how things are going, and repeat, learn, do kind of thing.
More to come here on The Advertising Show. It's Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth, along with our special guest, Karen Handley, CEO of The Hyper Factory. Hope you stick around.
How can 18 different companies all sell the exact same thing known as water? It starts here in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most thought-provoking, groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. Your job demands you not only have good ideas, but great ideas. And those great ideas have to start somewhere. And that somewhere is in the pages of Advertising Age, and also online at adage.com. How can you get someone's attention if you don't have $10 million in a celebrity endorsement? It starts here in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most innovative and groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. The next big idea demands out-of-the-box thinking. Start your search for greatness in the pages of Advertising Age and also online at adage.com.
Simplifying the complex world of advertising. To reach Ray and Brad with your questions, log on to theadvertisingshow.com. This is The Advertising Show.
Here's to good friends. Tonight is kind of special. The beer will pour.
Thanks for being here at The Advertising Show with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth, as you probably do each and every week. Glad you're here today. We've got to... the CEO of the Hyper Factory, thehyperfactory.com is their website, and it's Derek Handley here with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth. Derek, welcome. Glad to have you here.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about the Say Goodbye campaign that the Hyper Factory did on behalf of your client Motorola, which I understand won several awards. Let's use it as a showcase for your own firm, but more importantly, as a bit of a case study, if you will, Derek, as to what to do right when it comes to mobile advertising. Talk a little bit about the elements of the campaign and what worked well, why, et cetera.
Right, okay. So the campaign was based around a launch of a new airport wing in the Hong Kong International Airport. And the concept the airport put to the market was come up with a great, innovative way to use these huge billboard outdoor digital screens that we've got in this new wing. So we put a response together with Motorola based on using those big screens to enable passengers or arriving or departing passengers to take pictures and send them up to the screens, almost like a goodbye message with text and images instantly using their handsets, which their guests could see. There was another component to the program where we had taken over some of the billboards and brought to life call to actions about, Bluetooth, to educate users about how you can use Bluetooth to download and receive content, not just, listen to your headset on it. And we worked with some of the Motorola brand partners that they have as brand ambassadors, so David Beckham and a Chinese pop star called Jay Chou, to create very short messages which were all about saying goodbye. So these were, customized messages from huge celebrities which you could download via Bluetooth at the airport, from these billboards. So working in conjunction with the creative agency and the client, the key thing here was the whole campaign works with the media, and the concept is focused around engaging through mobile from the very outset. So one of the things that, this couldn't have happened is if we're brought in at the end of the process and you say, well, this is the creative, this is what we want to do, and can we tack on some mobile? This kind of idea would never be able to exist without having the kind of discussion at the very beginning with all parties at the same table and creating the concept together.
What an outstanding idea, and I think it's a great I happen to have read something about that prior to even inviting you on the show. You guys got a lot of publicity for that campaign, and it's a great illustration as to how to engage the consumer with your brand and just taking it several steps beyond. You mentioned Bluetooth. You know, I think a lot of people have heard Bluetooth. They know the name, but they're not really sure about how to use it. SMS, you've talked about. Mobile video and banners are both two examples of technology that mobile marketers use. Talk a little bit about the various options, if you will, and when are the right times to use, say, mobile video versus banners?
Well, yeah, there's quite a lot of different options available, and they should be used, as you say, for different purposes. You know, text messaging is probably the most flexible, and the one thing that text messaging does the best that no other medium can do at the moment is it can tie together all other media in the media plan. So if you imagine tagging your TV spots with different call to actions versus your print campaign versus your outdoor campaign versus, you know, some big screen you might take up in a stadium, all through a single text messaging program with different calls to action across those different mediums, text messaging is like the glue that enables you to measure responses to all those types of medium that you're investing in. From there, you know, text messaging can be used to communicate back to an audience. People can sign up to opt in to hear from a brand, and you can tell them, you know, what's going on, what's new, and even use it to deliver content. So text messaging can then be used to deliver things like video or links to mobile websites where you can then go and access any number of things. The banner type of world is to drive traffic. So you use mobile banners much as you would, you know, use online banners. You use it to either build brand awareness or to drive people to a mobile website. And the mobile website is a place where you can either give content, you know, in a static format, or you can provide mobile content like the videos or downloads or games or ringtones or screensavers. So all these types of content can be housed in the same, you know, unified location in the mobile web.
Give us, just as our last question for the interview, what would we expect to see in mobile, say, in the next 3 to 5 years that's just not out there yet?
Just not out there. Well, in Japan, there's a lot of knowledge around something called QR codes and response barcodes, where everything is tagged with a barcode that you can, you know, take a picture of. And basically, it's almost like a shortcut URL to any type of content on the mobile web. I think that type of technology will eventually, you know, in the next 3 or 5 years, take over and work its way around the world. But in terms of the advertising industry per se, I think that you are 3 to 5 years is quite a long way out. I'd say by, 3 to 5 years, this becomes a significant portion of an advertiser's spend because it's such a personal medium. It's instant. You're going to have full GPS location-based capabilities. You can target by handset device, which enables you to do all sorts of different things. You know, it's a personal media player in remote control, and you can tie someone to a brand, with that in a way that you can't any other type of medium. So I think it's a major industry shift. That's going to be the biggest thing that will change, the sheer amount of activity in this space.
And think of how many things have changed since 2000 when you guys got this thing underway as well. Continued success, a great idea, and thanks for being our guest today on the Advertising Show.
Well, thank you very much.
With Ray Shillings and Brad Forsythe, we've got more to come your way in just a moment.
There is somewhere better to get inspired creative ideas. This is where it's at. OpenAd.net, the first online platform for advertisers, changing the way that ideas are created and traded. Access nearly 11,000 creative minds representing 125 countries around the world, waiting online to have a go at your brief. Imagine the impact such range and diversity of talent can have on your next advertising campaign. All creative work is IP cleared before you get it. We take care of all the details while you get brilliant ideas in a fraction of the time, at a lower cost, and with a lot less fuss. No endless meetings, no away days. When a client needed a new corporate identity ASAP and on a tight budget, they got the impossible. 170 creative solutions to the client in just 24 hours, from brief to deadline. OpenAd.net, busting down the walls of the ad industry. Put it to the test. Just go to OpenAd.net and give us a try. And what have you got to lose? The future starts here.
You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth.
Look sharp, feel sharp, be sharp and listen, mister, how you fix your blades.
Great conversation with Derek Handley, CEO of the Hyper Factory, here with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth on The Advertising Show. We've got more coming your way next week as well. I've got to find that sheet. I'll find it in just a minute. Not a big deal. We've got, I want to get your take on this as well. You know, we're not necessarily drinkers of Bud Select, Budweiser, Bud Light, or Bud, God forbid now, Bud Lime. So anyway, the fact that they were purchased by InBrands, or InBev, I should say, it has a lot of people up in arms. It's like, I'm not going to drink that Budweiser anymore. I'm not suggesting that there's a profile there, but what do you think about that? I don't think it's that big of an idea or, you know, big of a change.
Well, I think simply the fact that the Bush family was so closely associated with Anheuser-Busch in St. Louis, and I lived there for a few years, many years ago, and I think that's, you know, a lot of the backlash is coming, or originating out of St. Louis market.
Yeah. So basically, then, it's a slap in the face to the community, what you're saying, and I can see that now. I can understand the family.
Yeah. It's a big union town there in St. Louis, and they, you know, Augie III, and I mean, all the way down, unlike Ford, where, you know, you've had different people at the helm there with a name brand company, so to speak. But with Anheuser-Busch, it's been a family owned business, and even though it's a public company, but, you know, I see that, and I think people, when they think of America and beer, they think of Anheuser-Busch. But, you know, frankly, I don't think the beer is going to change.
I guess I was talking more from a beer-drinking standpoint, but I see what you're saying. Culturally, this is kind of a sad day. It was kind of like the day that Wendy's was purchased by, oh, gosh, I forget the folks who bought that, but they took it out of the family, so to speak, and that's what you're saying is happening here. Okay, well, we salute you, Mr. Bush.
And don't feel too sorry for him. What is it, 46 billion or something? I last
52 billion, 52 billion and change. Yeah. So there we go. Hey, we've got our customer experience right now, Jean Bliss, and she's talking about the airline Virgin Atlantic. You heard of them, right? Well, let's listen.
Oh, yeah.
Welcome to the customer experience, making customers your true priority for a profitable outcome. With your host, author, speaker, consultant, and customer crusader, Jean Bliss.
What else can we do to get most of our time out of being strapped in an airplane chair for hours at a time? Work or enjoy something in our ear? Virgin America gets that. They've made their experience about the key components, which is the chair and the stuff to make sitting in that chair most enjoyable, even in coach. The most welcome feature is 110-volt power with two outlets in every set of three coach seats. There's also USB connectors for charging devices like iPods and Razors, and the coach seats are comfy, not lumpy, with cushy padding and leather coverings and plenty of legroom. Next year, Virgin is going to begin offering internet access via Ethernet and via in-cabin Wi-Fi. The touch-sensitive seatback display screens can be used to order and pay for food and drinks, or even to text chat with your fellow passengers. The in-flight entertainment system includes pay-per-view movies, live satellite TV, and more than 3,000 tracks. Yeah, they're charging for items here, but the difference is they're items customers want and have been wishing for. Can someone say cha-ching?
This has been your weekly installment of the Customer Experience with Jean Bliss. Directing transformational customer insights from major U.S. market leaders, Gene is corporate America's change agent for a new inspirational understanding of today's consumer. To learn more about Gene's books and speaking engagements, or simply how to drive customer profitability for your company, log on to customerbliss.com.
Thank you, Jean Bliss and the Lennon sisters there with Sissy on the bass. It's Jean Bliss here at the Advertising Show, Ray Shillins, Brad Forsyth. And what do you have there real quick?
Well, you know, real quickly, in a high-priced world of celebrity baby pictures, what am I going to talk about? Well, it appears a new record is about to be set, and as the yet unnamed U.S. magazine, at least as of today, is reportedly going to be offering $11 million for the first pictures of Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt's newborn twins. Speculation is the price tag could increase as much as $20 million, Ray. On previous photo deals, the finalists for the pictures have been okay for Jamie Lynn Spears' baby. And yes, kids, if you're listening, you too can get knocked up and have a kid at the age of 17, something to aspire to, right, Ray?
Yeah, right. And
then also People magazine is also believed to be in the running along with Okay. And by the way, this Brangelina reference that everybody tends to do when they're in the news, I mean, that's 3-4 years old. Let's give it up. Let's move on. Let's not, you know, let's pick another name.
Let's move on to this, The Advertising Show, brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit online at adage.com. And also by Captivate Network. You can visit them at captivate.com. Our next week's guest, author of WIF, The Revolution of Scent Communication in the Information Age. They're calling now because they're so excited to be on the show. We hope you'll join us next week. This is a Big Radio Midgets production.